Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to once again meet you on the air as we face the issues. Let me remind you that we face the issues each day. We're facing some of the issues that most people are unwilling to face. Let's put it that way. We're dealing with issues that I believe are vital for our national security. I believe these issues that we speak of are vital for the fundamental foundation of our churches. I believe these issues are vital for life and living and for believers and conservatives to be effective in the society in which we're living. I believe that as we face these issues, it should challenge Christians to be salt and light in the society in which we're living. I believe as we face issues, it ought not to be based on my philosophy, my feeling, my thought, my attitude, or what I believe. It is my most humble position that as we face the issues, we do so, need to do so, based on the authority of Scripture, not based on what some think, feel, or say, but based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we on Let's Face the Issues deal with in a confrontive fashion from a biblical base those issues that affect life, whether it is the Christian, the non-Christian, the politician, or the person on the street. I believe that it's time that we speak forth the truth and we do so in love. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's any more of a freeing element than the truth of the Word of God. Multitudes today try to find answers to issues and problems and difficulties through all manner of counseling and sources and resources and other elements outside the realm of the Word of God. I believe it's time that we, especially as Christians, turn back to the fundamentals of the faith. We turn back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we seek answers, let's do so based on the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." And then Jesus said, "And the truth shall make you free." We need freedom in our nation today more than any other time in the history of our world. And the only way we can have that real freedom is first and foremost through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, "I am truth," in John 14:6. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we speak of truth. We're talking about a biblical worldview. Multitudes today are against truth. You find that in the political scene today with the president, and the battle with Adam Schiff, as he calls pencil neck, and with Nancy Pelosi, which is a laughable character to say the least. AOC and the squads literally in charge of the Democratic National Convention today and the Democratic Party in Washington. But it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have found that it is a difficult path to speak truth and to talk about truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. Occasionally, this thing that's called internet and computerization causes that. I call it demons in the system, but that's just me. But we're talking about truth and the need to speak truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man the truth to his neighbor." And that's what the intent of this broadcast is each day, that we bring forth the truth of these issues that we're faced with in society. Today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start your own landscape business or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of generators with a knowledgeable staff to instruct you on how to use them during the time of need. They also carry a full line of cleanup equipment for hurricanes and the hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old San Augustine Road and I-295. You can identify it by the gigantic flag that's standing at that intersection, 165-foot pole with a giant U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing there. So find the flag, intersection of 295 and Old San Augustine Road. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today, or a subject, I should call it, white privilege. What is white privilege? Racism. What is racism? White privilege and racism, what does that connote? Where does that come from? What is the origin of those terms? What is it designed to do? Should we fall into the trap of believing it and following it and thinking that somehow, some way, that there is white privilege or that there is racism? And what does it really mean in the political sense and or in the general sense for society? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most divisive words in the English language today is racism or racist. These mantras are generally used, ladies and gentlemen, in the highly controversial situations, especially on the modern political landscape. I found that when an individual is void, has a major deficit in the intellectual abilities of an issue to debate, to discuss, and to dialogue on that issue, they will usually default to the mantra of racist or racism. I'll never forget, just a short while back, on this broadcast, I dealt with All Lives Matter. It's when the racially communist influence of the Black Lives Matter, go back and check it, the three women that founded the organization are socialist / communist, and it's a communist ideology that talks about that. But I dealt with that subject, All Lives Matter, not just Black Lives Matter, but White Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, and I covered that. And the individual didn't have the nerve or the brass to call and debate it on the radio broadcast. So after the broadcast, he called me on the telephone line, landline, and said, "You're just a racist." And I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Because you talked about Black Lives Matter as though they were not a good organization." I said, "Have you studied the origin of them? Do you know the background? You know the rationale behind what they're saying and why they're saying it?" And I presented some facts. And he said, "You're just a racist." And I presented other facts five times during the course of about a 5 or 6 minute telephone dialogue. He said, "You're just a racist." And I said, "Sir, the problem is," he claimed he was a pastor, I said, "the problem is you're devoid of any intellectual ability to communicate on the same level of dialogue and discussion. And so you have the default button that says racist, racism." I said, "That doesn't in any way squelch what I want to say and why I need to say it." But ladies and gentlemen, today in Washington, and from the 20 socialist, Marxist, Democrat candidates for president, we hear that Donald J. Trump, President Trump, is a racist. Now I want to just go down a list of things that he's done that causes the objection, causes the detractors to call him a racist. For example, because President Trump wants a secure border, automatically he's a racist. The mindset and the mantra from the left, the socialist Democrats, the Marxist in Washington. They're simply saying he's wanting to prevent brown or black people from coming into America. So he's a racist just because he wants to protect and secure our borders. Because President Trump wants to be sure that America is safe from the Islamic jihadists, he's a racist. Just because President Trump confronts and wants to change our lax immigration policies, he's a racist. In fact, I don't know if you've been watching or listening. I'm fearful that the weakness of the 20 socialist Marxist Democratic candidates is evident in their not having any ability to do anything but to default to the term racist, racism, or white supremacy or white privilege. That's their mantra. But fourthly, because President Trump stands up for and protection of the nation's law enforcement, he's a racist. Now, I don't know how you have the nexus for that. Evidently, the nexus is simply because other than white people get arrested and are ticketed for crimes, all of a sudden that means law enforcement is racist. Because President Trump stands for law enforcement, he's racist. The fifth thing is, ladies and gentlemen, because President Trump supports ICE in the their ability and their duty of arresting and deporting illegal felons from America, all of a sudden he's a racist. ICE members, those that are carrying out their duties, are racist. The Secretary of State is a racist. The head of the law enforcement on a national level, heads are, of law enforcement are considered racist. That's the mantra that's being used. But because President Trump is against sanctuary cities, and these sanctuary cities that allow illegals to camp out on the sidewalks, they allow illegals to come in and be protected by the taxpayers' dollars. Because these illegals and these that they term as homeless, about 66,000 in L.A. alone, because they're able, allowed to urinate and defecate on the streets, and because President Trump and now the head of HUD is now called are now called a racist because they stand against it. And because President Trump says that it ought not to be a sanctuary city where there is a mantra that allows law enforcement to have their hands tied, that all of a sudden he is a racist. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, you get the point. When you stand for law, when you stand for truth, when you stand for justice, when you stand for the Constitution, when you stand for American sovereignty, all of a sudden you're a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald Trump is called a racist just to undermine and to destroy his authority and impact on America and the culture in which we're living today. But across America, the mantra white supremacist or white privilege or racist, these are tools in the war chest of the multitudes of George Soros-funded anti-Americans that's in America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just pause for a moment and say to you that George Soros is a globalist. George Soros prides himself in being able to destroy nations and have the currency devalued to the point that he can go in and basically own, control, and manipulate the currency and the situation in nations around the globe. George Soros has about 209, the last reading I had on the research, about 209 different corporate entities. Most of those corporate entities are designed to undermine, tear down, and destroy and overthrow the United States of America. Multitudes, if not most, listen, on both sides of the aisle, both Democrat and Republican, both are at the trough of George Soros' organizations where he funds their campaigns to get in return, they're appeasing them in order to be the mouthpiece for his globalist agenda to destroy the United States of America. I believe this is people like Paul, or the reason that people like Paul Ryan and about 12 other Republicans have decided they would not run for re-election. I believe this is why we find the lack of standard for the Republicans for standing for Donald J. Trump and his attempt to drain the swamp and clean the sewer in Washington. I believe this is the serious cause of what Nancy Pelosi is doing and Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler. What they're doing is simply because of being at the trough, being paid, bought and paid for by George Soros. I wish there was some way to investigate that and get to the bottom of it and make the determination, the assertion can be clarified this is the reason we have such a battle in Washington today. It's simply because of the politicians being bought and paid for by George Soros. But it's George Soros's anti-American funds that's bringing this about. The most recent is found with Rashid Tlaib. Rashid Tlaib, you know Rashid Tlaib, the one that's part of the AOC and the squad. Rashid Tlaib, a radical Islamic jihadist. Rashid Tlaib is one of the ones that's now calling President Trump a racist. She's the one that initially started out that we're going to impeach, and she used some explicatives, President Trump, the moment that he was sworn into office. That's been the mantra by all of the squad, ACO and the squad. That's been the mantra by several of the loudmouth socialist Marxist Democrats, and they have found a mantra that is a tool that's being used in calling President Trump a racist that helps them to try to undermine and destroy the effectiveness of President Trump in carrying out his role as the chief executive officer for the United States of America and doing what can be done to save America from the trash heap of dead, dying, decayed societies in the past. But Rashid Tlaib, a recent visit to the Detroit police headquarters, where she took a racist position and challenged law enforcement in their work of identifying those breaking the law. Let me just share a couple of articles that vivify that. Here's an article that says, Rashid Tlaib wants police facial recognition software run only by African Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm adamantly opposed to any hyphenated American. You're either American or you're not an American. There's no such thing as a German American, a Chinese American, a Japanese American, a Taiwanese American, or Black American. You're American or you're not an American. You're American or you're un-American. So that's number one flaw in her philosophy. But she says, here's the article, U.S. Representative Rashid Tlaib, the Michigan Democrat among four freshman congressmen known as the Squad, says Detroit police should hire only Black people to manage their facial recognition technology because other races, quote, think of African Americans, all look the same, end quote. Tlaib made the statement to James Craig, the city's police chief, during a tour of his department's real-time crime center. The Detroit News reported, Detroit police invited Tlaib to tour the facility after she criticized the agency for using facial recognition technology to identify suspects back in August of this year. Here's a tweet. Detroit Police Department, Rashid Tlaib, said before you criticize the software, they're saying there, before you criticize the software, come to our real-time crime center to see how we at Detroit Police responsibly use it in an effort to identify criminals involved in violent crimes. And the article further then says, analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not, Tlaib told Craig during the tour. By the way, it's been on the news, and she got in the face of, very critical and castigating, of the police department in Detroit. And she said in that tour, she said it was tense, according to the Detroit News. It's insulting, Craig told the Detroit News afterward. We have a diverse group of crime analysts, and what she said, that non-whites should not work in the capacity because they think all Black people look alike, is a slap in the face to all the men and women of all backgrounds in the crime center, end quote. James Craig is the head of the Detroit Police Department. Craig pointed out that the implicit bias training instruction is required for all officers and civilian employees. To say people should be barred from working somewhere because of their skin color, he asked, that's racist, he said. Ladies and gentlemen, he's right. And yet we have the mindset today that you ought to have a selective attitude. We have colleges and universities across America today that are racial profiling to make a determination whether they're Asian Americans or Asians coming in, or whether they're Black Americans, or whether they're other ethnic groups, whether or not they would accept them into the colleges. Ladies and gentlemen, so it's okay for Tlaib to be an open, real racist, but not Trump. Is that what we're finding? That she can be in your face a racist. She can make debilitating decisions and statements. And it's supposed to be okay because she is a Islamic jihadist, and somehow, some way, it makes it okay. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says four fake viral, V-I-R-A-L, viral racial hoaxes that Rashid Tlaib has tweeted so far. And it's a lengthy article. I've tried to truncate it for this broadcast. But for example, this article says there have been so far four viral racial hoaxes that socialist Representative Rashida Tlaib, a Democrat Muslim from Michigan, has posted on her social media as if they were all real. And she's not bothered to correct the statements when she was proven to be wrong and the incident's fake. The report was that there were three white boys attacked a 12-year-old individual named Amria Allen, held her hands behind her back, and cut her dreadlocks. Tlaib's sympathy and admiration was evident. She said on the Twitter, "You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're strong. You're loved," she said in part. But when the activists, big bosses, who reported Allen's claims reported to the student, admitted that her allegations against three white classmates were in fact untrue, there wasn't a peep from Tlaib. Secondly, the Beacon reported, this has been a part of the pattern of the outspoken far-left congresswoman on at least three other occasions in 2019. Tlaib uncritically shared racially charged viral stories that fell apart or were strongly challenged upon deeper scrutiny. One earlier situation was the Covington Catholic School incident in January. Network video showed the circumstances to make it look like Trump supporter student were mocking a Native American man peacefully beating a drum. More complete video evidence, though, showed that it was just the opposite. The Native Americans had approached the young man in his face. But Tlaib said on the social media, "This is so hard to watch. It reminds us of the growing hate and opposition we all are up against in America." Then, too, she jumped onto the Juliet Smollett scandal. The dangerous lies being spewed from the right wing and killing and hurting our people, supposedly. Of course, the report says Smollett's story began to come apart as local police and reporters examined the unlikely details of his claim. And finally, there was the claim by the black Georgia Democratic lawmaker who said a white man told her at an Atlanta store to go back to where she came from. Tlaib's comment, "You're loved, you're loved, you're loved, you're so loved." But the story also soon fell apart. State Representative Erica Thomas, a Democrat, eventually told reporters that she wasn't sure about what the man said. The man identified her later, said her claim was untrue. Tlaib didn't delete any of those tweets in any of the four instances. Her office didn't even respond to the request for comments from the reporters about it. The point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like it's all right to be an in-your-face racist if you're on the lunatoon left of the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. But if you're President Donald Trump or anybody that's affiliated with his leadership, if you're anybody that's a conservative in America, all of a sudden you are a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, today we see multitudes of politically correct racists pointing their fingers at others, calling them white supremacists or something like Michael Moore. Racist Michael Moore and some of the things he's saying. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear in Matthew chapter 25 and in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, that is. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful in America today of this divisiveness that's taking place by talking about white privilege and white supremacy and or racism and being a racist. We're going to talk about it in a minute, about the source of this conversation, the source of this information, the source of this false ideological bent that's designed to tear down and destroy and undermine a nation or nations. But Michael Moore, the racist that he is, in the recent book, in one of the chapters called Killing Whitey, it's appalling, it's sad, it's sinister, it's dangerous. And the truth is that Michael Moore is an insignificant person. And yet here's an article that says, Michael Moore's Killing Whitey book chapter is required reading for Syracuse, New York course. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it sad, somber, appalling when a book of this nature is used in a public university or college as an academic source to teach students. The article says one Syracuse University's course required reading calls black conservative sellouts and says they are engaged in Uncle Tom porn. The author of leftist filmmaker Michael Moore asked how much of these freaks are being paid, talking about the conservative blacks that he calls Uncle Toms, that he calls sellouts. He said, how much of these freaks calling black Americans that are conservatives freaks? And yet we think that it's okay for him to say that. But ladies and gentlemen, what if President Trump had said that? What if anybody in Trump's whole sphere, orbit of leadership had said that? All of a sudden, you'd think the world's coming to an end. This article further says, Syracuse African-American politics includes this chapter titled, Killing Whitey as a Course Requirement for the University Studies. Syracuse University requiring students to enroll in one of the courses to buy the book by leftist filmmaker Michael Moore called Stupid White Men and read the chapter titled Kill Whitey. Syracuse professor teaches that African-American politics course requiring the book Moore calls black conservatives Uncle Toms and sellouts. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not supposed to be racism. This is not supposed to be racist. This is not supposed to be elitism. Segmented, segregating, and separating based on ethnicity. Ladies and gentlemen, God created one race, the human race. The blood that flows in your veins and my veins, I don't care your skin color, the blood that flows in your veins is the same blood that flows in mine. It's called the human race. At the Tower of Babel, some call it Babel, study the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, you find at the Tower of Babel, God divided and segregated and separated on a global basis ethnically speaking, by language, one human race divided globally based on language. You can take any ethnic group, any skin color on the face of God's globe, and you'll find the same human blood flowing in the veins. Ladies and gentlemen, there is the mantra of racism and racist, white supremacy and white privilege that's being bounded about to tear down and destroy. This article further says, Are white people's brains hardwired to see one thing but believe the opposite because of race? Moore asked in the chapter. Do all white people suffer from the same shared low grade of mental illness? Ladies and gentlemen, I made a footnote on this article. What if this were said of any other ethnicity? There would be complete outrage on a national level. Moore suggests that he and Louis Farrakhan, the Islamic white Jew hater, Louis Farrakhan, who has compared Jews to termites and called Adolf Hitler a very great man, are the only two people angry with racial discrimination against black people in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to talk about the root source of this racism in America today. Come right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.